Hey guys, hope you're enjoying the podcast. As always, obviously, I'm sure if you're following me on social, you know about this, but if you don't, I am doing Tea with Gary Vee. I've been doing it for about a month. It's been remarkable. If you're not following it, you're making a huge mistake. 9 a.m. Eastern time during this crisis, we're doing some incredible stuff. Please check it out. Tea with Gary Vee, live on all my social platforms every morning at 9 a.m. Twitter is definitely the place that you can't miss it. In general, I think if you're not following me on Twitter, it's a huge mistake. Gary Vee on Twitter. Check it out.
This is the Gary Vee Audio Experience.
Welcome to the classroom, AJ and Gary. Appreciate you stopping by. What Alex just mentioned, I think, is pretty cool. So he said, I have the largest sports Snapchat account, and that's pretty much in thanks to Gary Vee. A few years ago, he inspired me to just start something, do it. He was pushing Snap, pushing hard work, and that's kind of how it's gotten me to this point. His whole message has always been, do what you love, and there will be a market for it. And I think I've kind of proved his message. So it's cool to come full circle and then be able to talk to him and AJ about what they're working on, their passion projects. So I just wanted to drop that little story in there. No problem. So Vayner Sports, a sports agency, you guys are the media kings, you're creative. Why go into, you made Vayner Media a success, why go into Vayner Sports?
AJB?
Yeah, I think the easy answer is passion. I think that it's if you follow any of Gary's stuff, it's very easy to see, and you can look even in the background of his office here. You know, sports have always been at the center for both of us in terms of a passion point and a hobby and an outlet. And so, really, I think what it came down to was we started VaynerMedia in 09, what is now VaynerX, and had a lot of good success focusing on servicing Fortune 500 clients and sitting at the intersection of Madison Avenue and Silicon Valley. And when I decided to leave the day-to-day of VaynerMedia and find something new for my career, I was looking for something that obviously was able to potentially blend my passions of business and sports. You know, I was the kid that when I played Madden growing up, I was spending 90% of my time on franchise mode as opposed to the actual game. And so, you know, one other aspect of it, and I've been talking about it a little bit more, but along building Vayner and within the confines of Gary and I doing angel investing, we also started running into athletes on the cap table, right? And we started having dinners with guys like Carmelo and Draymond Green. And I saw that within the sports agency landscape, I thought for the two of us, we could really jump in and bring a completely fresh perspective. I think that was something that really benefited us with VaynerMedia. We were outsiders with a new line of thinking when it came to the ad model. And so coming into the sports agency space and layering on that entrepreneurship and that investment background, all those factors kind of boiled into making Vayner Sports a very clear and obvious choice for me as the next act of my career.
How do you, so what was the differentiator?
Jack, let me get in here.
Go for it. I know you're going to talk a lot. I was trying to get AJ.
You're being smart. And by the way, here's the funniest part about it. And for me, AJ walks into the office and wants to go full throttle on this. And for me, nothing's more interesting than supporting the world, let alone my brother. And I'm like, cool, let's go, right? Like, nothing is more exciting than to follow a wave that matters. You know, AJ doesn't walk in and say, I want out of VaynerMedia. I want to, you know, on just some lallygag shit, right? So like, you know, like, it's kind of like fun to like, and it's an important point for everybody listening. Like, you know, as you can imagine, when I got that news, it's kind of, you start thinking about like, oh fuck, like, you know, AJ holds down a lot, you know, and things of that nature. And so obviously, cause he's the best, he's also gave me unlimited time. I think it was like a 6-year warning, but like, but more importantly, like one thing that I think a lot of kids, I'll give you an example, Jack. You build up this huge Snapchat thing, right? Like when you see TikTok coming and you see me yelling about TikTok the way I talked about Snapchat, you jumping on that instead of saying, but I'm number one here, is the single most important narrative, you know, like narrative for everybody who's listening right now. Like really being ready for anything at any time is imperative. When you're the 11-year-old brother and you start a business, it's very much unusual for you to think you're gonna be the one that continues to carry it, not the reverse, because that's just like common cadence. You know, not that I've ever thought of it this way, but if you asked me in 2010, you know, which one of you
right.
this business first and runs
I agree.
It?
I agree. Yeah, I agree.
So You know, just to bring as much value in this 45 minutes or whatever we have here, the moral of that story is from both sides, AJ, passion, clearly, like, don't do shit you don't love, regardless of what the money involved is. And number two, be prepared for fucking anything. Your brother, who's younger, who in theory should take over, leaving, COVID, and anything else.
Got it.
Yeah, real quick too, I think something that Gary mentioned, and I'm not saying this to pat my back, but more so I think it's important message is that Gary referenced it, right? When I decided I wanted to leave Vayner, the number one thing that ran through my mind was what Gary said. Like I owed so much of my own success and my situation that I had in my hands and the fact that I had the luxury to leave that type of business and to spend some time to figure it out and go chase my passion, that something that was so important for me, especially when you're juggling the dynamic of a family business, was to do it the most right way possible. So when I came in, I said, gee, I want to leave, but like, you need to know I'm not leaving tomorrow. And then I'm not leaving out of like some lazy stuff, and I'm not leaving because I hate it. I don't hate it. I love running this business with you. So I think it ended up being kind of like a blank check, so to speak. And then we ultimately, after like a month or two of figuring it out, I think landed on a 12-month runway. So it ended up being like a 14-month notice, so to speak. And that was just, I think, something important too, where I didn't want to lose sight of, you know, how I got to that place. And I certainly didn't want to leave my brother high and dry. And, you know, I appreciate him saying it. And I did handle a lot, but I also knew that, you know, at the end of the day, the magic of Vayner Media and Vayner X was predominantly on his shoulders. And a lot of what I was carrying was in theory a commodity, so to speak. And so, you know, maybe I take some pride in the fact that we kind of ended up dicing up my responsibilities amongst like three different people, but it was replaceable and it needed to be replaced over a period of time. It couldn't be rushed. We couldn't do it in 2 weeks. We couldn't do it in 30 days. And I needed to make sure it was right.
For everybody else who's in a family business, we also negotiating the financial terms had to do it multiple times because we didn't figure it out the right way. And transparency, I was concerned about my resentment. AJ was incredibly gracious. Like, it's a process. And I'm sure if you dissected the fuck out of us both right now, it can never be perfect for either side. This is about choosing love over money.
100%.
Huge challenge for most people, you know?
Like, yeah. No, I mean, I honestly, if you think about like what we were able to accomplish and what, you know, the foundation, our business partnership started off as 50-50. And objectively, that makes no sense, right? Mm-hmm. Gary should have had the lion's share. I was 22. He was already successful. You know, and maybe in the first year or two, it made some sense because I was spending more time on it. But by the time 2011 came around, Gary decided to go all in on it. 50-50 made no sense, right? And so
fire. AJ, give me some daps. I came in hot.
What's that?
Hot.
Well, I mean, shit. I mean, we went from
3 point something to 14?
In rev, yeah, that's exactly right. And we went from what, 12 people to 150? So it was fast.
Well, we don't talk about those early days. I came in hot. Like, AJ's a really good operator, but like, I'm a fucking top line. Like, you want to talk about offense? Like, I'm a Loyola Marymount, if we want to go like, just so there's no confusion. I'm trying to win games like 196. If we're playing basketball, I'm trying to win like 196 to 174.
100%. Yeah, I mean, the early days of Vayner, we I'll never forget. I think it was year four. So I guess that's January 2013, maybe. I think we had like 26 employees start on the first day of the year. It was just insane.
I came in full time in September September 2011, full time.
Yeah, so then January 2013, we had 26, 27.
Oh.
No, 2013. It was like 15 or 16 months after you started.
Oh.
We had the single biggest day of staff startup because we didn't hire anybody those last like 2.5 weeks of December. We just told everybody, you know what, enjoy the holidays. You're starting January 4th or whatever that Monday was. And it was literally, we went from like 150 to 178 employees overnight.
Okay, the hiring process was like, human comes in, like, yeah, cool. Like, people don't understand how to scale. You fire after the fact and you get baggage with it and things get fucked up, but people spend fucking 6 weeks trying to figure out a hire when you're fucking exploding. Wine Library, you know, everybody's watching winetext.com. You know, my dad's business, they hired six people yesterday. They have 9 people starting Monday. My best friend Brandon, who's running this, like, I'm about to double that staff on the back of Winetex. They have no fucking idea. They're just hiring, like, anybody. Like, it's just, when you're growing, you grow.
Absolutely.
So as you guys are trying to now scale Vayner Sports and make it into a big splash, I have a topic that I want to bring up because I think it'll get you guys fired up. So I talked to an agent, and because your agency is a little younger, you guys don't, you haven't really had any people who are signing their second contract yet. Is that correct?
I mean, we've had a few along the way. But okay. We got more in the hopper.
Right, right. You're really building from the youth, the draft, et cetera.
Yeah.
So I talked to an agent, and he said, I don't believe in work, not working with, but getting any of my younger guys until they get that second deal, anything off the field, doing any content, appearances. I think they should put in the work on the field and get that second deal. You guys come from a background of personal branding, media, et cetera. What are your thoughts on that?
That's the craziest shit I ever heard.
That's what I thought. That's what I thought.
Here's the thing. Whenever anybody is slamming anybody for being entrepreneurial, creating content, being out there, they're completely ignoring what the other group of people are doing. So if one of our clients is networking, creating content, doing all these different things, their peer that's maybe represented by this agent you spoke to, they're probably at home playing Call of Duty, smoking a blunt, drinking, and have 9 girls in their living room, right? Like, are you kidding me? Like, our guys are replacing leisure time. And by the way, I'm not even judging that. That's what I would maybe do half the time in his spot, right? But what I'm saying is, like, you're pretending that every professional athlete needs to 24/7 focus on, like, nobody outside of maybe my brother works 24/7, right? Like, and he only does it because he genuinely loves it. If he didn't love what he does, he wouldn't do it. And so just to, it's honestly the stupidest thing I ever heard.
Bro, here's the bottom line. I don't know anybody. I don't know anybody. I don't know what they're doing. I could care less. Like, the bottom line is that people need a narrative to stop this logo.
Yeah.
And they already know it's over. Like, this is a foregone conclusion. It's going to take us a decade because we roll that way. I'm not going to come in and fucking sign, you know, like, fucking number one pick in the NFL draft out of left fucking field. But the reality is that, you know, the commodity that is being a good agent, and there are a lot of them. I've met an enormous amount of nice, wonderful, give a fuck about their clients. I want to kill all of them. I want to stab them through their throat, but I respect the shit out of, they know how to do a contract.
Yeah,
they
know commodity, to, commodity.
Fucking like it's a commodity. But the flip side is doing the kind of shit AJ did for Derek Morgan, making people money, changing their brand, infecting their family's life for in perpetuity. Like, this is fucking over. They can more than welcome, enjoy this time right now with their bullshit narrative, but they know exactly what the fuck's going to play out. And so we look forward to hanging out with them in 2030.
I agree. I love it. So a lot of our audience are college kids. So with coronavirus, they've been hit with, you know, the unexpected. Maybe they weren't prepared for this. And they're looking for internships right now. And you guys always talk about work for free, give up your time, learn, experience, etc. But is there, now that the market has kind of shifted to a maybe everyone has to work for free and that's not the edge, what's the new edge when you're saying, when I'm trying to go work for free?
Work for free. People aren't going to work for free. Jack, people aren't going to work for free. They're going to use mommy and daddy's money. They're going to fucking take on debt. People don't have humility, bro.
Yeah.
Show me who's working for fucking free. Like, people aren't hungry. People are soft. And don't give me a middle class and up kid. They're real soft. So
yeah,
we're not working for free.
Yeah. I think the other thing too, to consider, and I've had a lot of people hit me up about the internship side of things. A lot of people have had their internships canceled. Something that I kind of threw out there, and I had a few people gravitate to it, and I'm already testing it and kind of playing around with it. I have two college kids that I'm working with on this. The idea of a micro internship. So I think that a lot of people are emotionally latching on to an old world, The idea that I had an internship and it got canceled and woe is me and what am I supposed to do? And the thing that they're making a huge mistake doing is they're trying to just replace their canceled internship with a new internship. What they're not realizing, what they're not thinking about is that in order for a company to provide a good internship experience, which is what they want to do, it requires a lot of work. And also there are a lot of companies that have way, way, way bigger fish to fry right now in terms of keeping their business alive than getting you an internship. So what I suggest is identify your own skill that you think you can provide to a company that doesn't really require a lot of that company's time, energy, or effort, right? And so identify a skill. You know, are you really good with spreadsheets? Are you really good with research? Are you really good at graphic design? Whatever. And go to somebody and ask for a micro internship where maybe you work for them for X amount of hours that are promised. Maybe it's a 2-week period, but I'm testing it right now. I have two kids on a 60-hour plan for the rest of the summer, and we're defining exactly how they're spending their time. And to comply with New York State and labor laws, we've identified an hourly rate and we're bartering. I'm taking my hourly rate and they're buying some of my time. So I'm providing 2 hours of mentorship for them, like at the end of the internship, and advice and coaching and stuff like that. And that's something that's manageable for me. And, you know, because I'm going to say no. Anybody asks me for an internship, I'm saying no right now. I've got way too much to figure out as opposed to trying to figure out how to make you have a good experience. And that's just the reality of life. So let go of the notion of the traditional internship, because that's gone forever. Facebook just went remote first. Twitter's remote first. Shopify's remote first. Like, traditional internship as we know it is gone.
Supply and demand of talent. That's the issue at hand. It's the supply and demand of talent. People get mad at me when I talk about this shit. They're like, you're a horrible person. I'm like, no, I'm not a horrible person. I have 700,000 people that want to do video and art talent for Vayner. D-Rock can make $1 million a year right now if he left me. He won that trade. Let there be no fucking confusion. And he's the beast. I love him like a brother and fucking love that kid. And like his family, he won. And so like, I don't know, you know, like.
Yeah, especially in sports, yeah. Man. Especially in sports. I always tell college kids, you have to recognize the playing field. There is a massive imbalance between how many kids want to work in sports versus how many jobs are in sports. And period. You just got to understand that.
Period.
And navigate around that and use that as inspiration to break through.
So speaking on that, there's
By the way, Jack, I apologize. Doing something. You want to break through, do something. Make fucking 800 videos for Vayner Sports and maybe you can get in. Like, cause everybody makes 2 videos for Allen Robinson, Leonard Williams, Ike Yiadom, like Kyle Allen, like, you know, like everybody's trying, like it's just the truth. I fucking work for free my whole fucking life or nothing. Like people don't get it. Like too much audacity, supply and demand issues. Everybody wants to be in fucking sports. Everybody.
I get a lot of people saying, oh, can I edit this video for you? Or I want to help out in this way. But if you came to me with an edited video of how I could improve my stuff, that's when I start having a conversation. I'm sure you guys see the same exact thing.
100%.
Yeah, 90% of the stuff that I get for free is garbage. Like that's real life. Like it's not just, so you have to know if you're good. Like if I wrote a paper for Jeff Bezos because I wanted to work for him, I would never get a shot with him because I suck at writing a paper. So you got to also understand, like, everybody's so confused. It's just like sports itself. Like, I want to be Sam Darnold. I want to control. I'm trying to buy the Jets to control shit. I could be the quarterback and control even more shit probably. Like, I just can't do that part. So I'm deciding to be an owner, not a fucking player. Be self-aware. I'm glad. I understand you wish. What about what can you actually do?
Following up on that, what do you think about, like, a lot of people say, okay, you're not good at writing, so focus on what you're great at. But in this generation, it feels like you need to be a jack of all trades. You need to know how to work Premiere or at least getting into the industry.
Disagree. Okay. You know, you never needed to be a jack of all trades, or you could always be a jack of all trades. You need to be good at something. Like, you have to be good at something. This is a merit-based world. School's not merit. Life's merit. And that's why nobody's fucking prepared. That's why people are stunned. Nobody gives a fuck you went to Michigan, bro. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just the truth. Like, so you better fucking really realize what's going on out here. It's why so many people get fucking flamed out in high school, college, and then pro sports. So, you know, a good percentage every time they go to the next level. You were the best fucking player on your high school team. The best player on my high school team in football, I wasn't on team, Eric Tomczak, was off the fucking Lehigh football team within the first 3 days. Lehigh. You know, like you're going to get smoked out. The number one pick in the NFL draft, Ryan Leaf, flopped. You know, like, so like, I think people are confused out here. Like, real life. Like, you know, like, nobody owes you shit. Like, you gotta make it. You gotta take it. And now, class of 2020, sorry, you look like class of 08 and 09. That's real life.
You know? 09, baby.
You know, and so, you know, the reality is you gotta go. And yeah, AJ had me, but if AJ sucked, he wouldn't have me. Even as my brother. What am I supposed to do? Fuck shit. I would have been like, look, you could take VaynerMedia. I'm going to do mine. Like, what? I would have made it nice. I'm nice. He's nice. But like, this is merit out here. Everyone's confused.
I hear what you're saying. I hope everyone listening hears Gary EJ's message also. I'm curious, do you think, so you always talk about you love, not love, but you guys like to capitalize on bad situations when stuff's cheaper. Like, would you want to be a kid coming out of 20 when you know everyone's kind of on the equal playing field right now?
I would, because this is, for me, I would want to come out during this time because everyone's scared and I'm an entrepreneur and I'm not scared. So to me, everything, I hate when things are cushy because C players are getting their piece. Like things are raw. This is a great time for me. I've never been in a position with this much juice when shit got bad. I'm about to come out of here like fucking a champion. I can't wait for 2024. Most of my money, impact, you know, like opportunities, relationships are going to come from this year. AJ?
Yeah, I'm kind of thinking through it. I tend to think it's opportunity. I think that I'm trying to visualize what would it be like if I were in this exact situation. I think that, I mean, shoot, one thing I would say is for the class of 2020, you're fucking lucky that it's 2020. You know, if this virus hit like 25 years ago, the class of 90, I mean, like, Gary, you were what, 94 or 98? No, you're 98, right? Like, the class of 95 graduating college, if this shit happened, would be fucked. So at the very least, like in a world where you're, I mean, Jack, look what you're doing right now, right? And I've seen plenty of entrepreneurship come that's completely digital. And social and app and whatever. So like, man, thank God that you were at least born at this era. Because if this virus hit the class of 95, they were dead. So it's a good situation. You got all the tools that you need. You got internet and you got a computer. You can roll.
By the way, AJ, I'm just a hair young enough that class of 94, 95 did have crazy opportunities with the internet. Believe it or not,
you're right.
Been a decade earlier.
But not everybody. It wasn't.
Well, that's why it was even better. Nobody.
Right, you're right. Mm-hmm.
Same as TikTok and the micro now. All those people that moved a year ago are fucking winning.
So for another big part of where I think Vayner's headed, Vayner Sports specifically, is the college football. Well, not college football. All college athletes being able to make money off their likeness. But while you guys view that as a great opportunity, I also think there's going to be a whole market for college students. The only way to get involved right now as a college student is through the ticket office or helping out the team, being an unpaid manager or something along those lines.
Smart thought.
Where do you guys predict the future of college students specifically being able to capitalize on their college classmates making money?
It's a real opportunity. You know, we already see it. It's already a natural thing that exists where great college athletes have somebody in their circle that is not necessarily the athlete, but is just charismatic, smart, savvy. It's in their crew.
Their homie.
That individual now being able to legally hustle on behalf of their friend and get them first of all, it's already happening to an extent, but it's like, you know, getting VIP service at the local campus bar, you know, on Friday nights or set, you know, that kind of stuff. But there's going to be an interesting opportunity for that college individual to hold the keys to a kid's real opportunity. And that kid's going to trust that because that's their peer, that's their friend, that's their homie. And so I think it's a massive win for friends of athletes that are sharper. I can't imagine if I was, 18, 19 and friends with a legit college athlete, the sheer damage I would do on their behalf. They would be massive and awesome. So it's, and you have all the time in the world and you can focus, right? I think something is like, I think a lot of these kids are going to have, Trevor Lawrence's best friend in this hypothetical situation when Trevor was a freshman, like they'd go all in and capitalize in a big way and everybody would win.
Oh my God. If I was fucking Trevor, if I was at Clemson right now, Trevor and I would make trillions.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
Are you nervous for, and this is going to be on the athlete, but are you nervous for, like, there's going to be 100 people who are saying, I can give you this, I can give you this.
Every athlete is dying to be in that situation. Sheer bullshit that you have these unbelievable athletes that are producing millions and millions for these universities, and they're not allowed to make any money while their family is completely, crazily struggling. That is a champagne problem of all champagne problems that they would sign up for in a millisecond.
I'm never nervous, Jack. Jack, why be nervous if you think you're better?
Some people might not think they're better, I guess.
Then those fuckers are nervous.
I have a question. Can you legally own the Jets and have a sports agency?
I'm going to sell my shares in Vayner Sports so fucking fast when I'm ready to buy the Jets. You won't even, the pen, it'll fly off my fucking hand. Of course not. And I will sell that. I will sell my shares and that'll be it.
Mine too. I'll be right there figuring out some sort of role. Maybe I'll get to pick the third rounder.
Hopefully one of the next Vaynerchucks, my guy, his guy, or somebody else, some cousin or who gives a shit? We'll sell it to you, bro. We're not going to give a fuck.
The Vayner Sports is just a vehicle to own the New York Jets.
It's a vehicle for AJ's happiness. It's a vehicle for us to learn. It's a vehicle to make money in the long term. It's a vehicle to be the best owner in sports when I get there.
I promise you one thing and one thing only. The second Gary buys that team, and then I also sell my shares and become a key advisor, we will have the best front office in the NFL. We'll have, it's going to take some time. Gary, how long is it going to take for you to buy them?
25
years. I have the next 25 years to analyze every single personnel department in the NFL that exists right now and all the future personnel executives. So we're just going to cherry pick the best talent and do it the right way. So it's going to be sheer dominance from an organizational perspective.
Just using Big Brother to get you in the door. I mean, he's going to be so old, you're just going to run the whole show.
No, it's not that. I don't think it goes that way. It probably goes to his son or whatever he wants to do. It's more that I can't imagine anybody more suited to help Gary win a Super Bowl than me, having run a sports agency for 30 years prior.
I would definitely agree with that. Speaking of the Jets, I came prepared, well, not with anything Jets, but I'm a Ravens fan. And you've been talking a lot about these, Gary, sports cards. So this is another time where I'm listening to what you're saying. I'm going all in. Is this a market that people, they lost their jobs. They're sitting at home. They don't have their internships.
Yes.
I know you're going to say yes, obviously.
I mean,
how are they going to do it? Exactly. Yeah.
Let me tell you why yes. And I've been out of it for the last 13 weeks. 14 weeks because I've been so fucking head down with the all-in challenge and with making sure the Vayner world doesn't crumble because I've got plenty of my own fucking headaches. It's because it's happened. You know what's happened with the cards. If you've got those Lamars, I wish you bought Lamars when I was going ham on them. I fucked up so good. I was so hot on him as an investment. He went up fucking 30-40x. If you put $1,000 into Lamar fucking this time last year, it'd be worth 40,000.
Gary, if you had been tweeting about sports cards a year ago, I think I could have been a millionaire based off my love for Lamar.
Good news, I was.
I was gonna say he's been tweeting about it forever.
How are people gonna win? By making the right decisions. If you believe, let me give you a hot take. If you some reason believe that Josh Rosen still has another at bat in the league and pops, you could make a fucking drillion. If you fucking think, Tua's the best of this bunch and you buy him early but expensive because he's a hot quarterback, but he's better than other people thought, you will win. I mean, it's not super complicated. I fucking bet the farm on Darnold, half belief, half heart. He got fucking mono. I lost. Like, it's not super.
So far. Lost so far.
So far, right? The real way to make money in sports cards is to buy legends. LeBron, Kobe, like these things will play out long term. It's supply and demand. The way to gamble is to take a rookie that you feel great about and buy cheap and flip. Football's quarterbacks, you know, really. The early baseball is like real lotto tickets. AJ would have made a quadrillion on Cody Bellinger. AJ nailed that in our fantasy league. He was not the biggest prospect. He's become who he's become. Basketball's super interesting to me. Basketball and soccer are the two places I think people should really invest in. So that's how.
What's the next great documentary? Because boy, did all those Bulls cards shoot up after the Last Dance.
AJ, it's out. They're doing the summer of '98 with Maguire and Sosa. They've already gone up 3x.
They have, yeah. So what's the next documentary after that?
I think Sammy is underpriced because the Latino thing, kind of like cultural. Mm-hmm. He was a character. People know Maguire more than Sammy. I think Sammy 90 Leaf rookies are still underpriced.
Yeah. Remember we found a bunch of those in the garage?
Yeah, when Sammy popped out and went crazy that year, I'd been out of the game for about 6 years, so I had a bunch of commons in the attic in the garage. So me and AJ went through all of them and found a ton because he was a common when I was collecting. That was a lot of fun.
With having a sports agency and being so content-centric, what's the play in terms of that market's going up? Panini, Topps, Upper Deck, they're all going to be growing with the market. How do you capitalize on kind of having a hand in both of those buckets?
Well, Gary, you've been playing with your own personal brand.
I'm having a little fire, so I've been on the phone a little much. I apologize, everybody.
No problem. It was in regards to, like, yes, we have Vayner Sports as an agency, but the card market, you know, how does that interplay? And I was saying, you with your personal brand, like you did the deal with Topps where you identify the entrepreneurial athletes, like we're already kind of bleeding into it in that regard.
I'm trying to convince all our kids, you know, a lot of kids don't make that much money in their first contract. So I'm trying to get kids to buy up all their own rookie cards if they believe in themselves so much. You know, listen, the reality is that there'll be some overlays over time. Nothing too crazy. You know, Panini's got the license for the league. We love those guys and gals over there. We do that deal. I think AJ's done a masterful job negotiating with the two card companies, Leaf and Panini. I think he's done a better job than any other agent because of his knowledge and the deals he's been able to get for guys given their draft status versus others that just completely mail in the deals. That's a firm example to me of kids making more money with AJ and Vayner Sports than the alternative. That's one of my weirdest kind of micro examples, but it's black and white to me. I watch, I see what deals are. I have a lot of access to information. AJ's been a better negotiator with sports card companies for our football players than any other agent in football. That's firm to me.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate your time with us. We're going to have some people pop in and ask Q&A real quick. So Alex is going to bring in the first guest and they're going to get to ask a live question, which is pretty cool.
All right. We got Alexis Freed from Fashion Institute in New York. Alexis is joining us now.
You're on mute, Alexis.
Oh,
I'm on.
There you go. You're good.
Oh, we got you now.
Perfect. Well, hi. I'm so excited to be here right now. Gary, you are my entrepreneurial icon, and I listen to your podcast every single day. But before I ask my question, here's a little bit about me. I'm 19 years old with a passion for fashion. I have a fashion Instagram, TikTok, YouTube channel, and blog. And my dream is to turn myself into my own brand and become a major force and presence in the fashion industry. So my question is, how can a young person differentiate themselves from all other influencers in today's market on social media?
By deeply, deeply clicking down into the uniqueness of who they are as a human being, because everybody looks the same. Like, you almost have to tell the world about all the things about you that are not fashion. Like, do you like hot chocolate? Do you ski? Like, do you have a birthmark on your nose? Like, it's literally down to that micro level. You have to, it's about uniqueness. And the only unique thing about every human that is deeply unique is every part of their actual life. Oh, I mean, this is unique. I mean, Alexis, this is super unique. You're on here twice.
I think we lost our connection.
No, she's
on. I did on my.
Alexis, did you hear that?
Yeah, I heard that. I totally digested everything that you just said, and really just about bringing myself outside of fashion and showing everyone who I really am.
Yeah, you're gonna try to PR yourself and position yourself as like the Chanel girl with the necklace. You're gonna get caught. Everyone does. If you don't go into the dorky part of you, the insecure part of you, you see where I'm going? You've got to show every asset, every facet of who you are. Otherwise, you're gonna look like everybody else.
Yeah. No, that's amazing advice. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Alexis. We got Radley Kraut from Penn State with a question.
Yeah.
All right, Bradley.
Yep, gotcha.
How are you? All right, hey, Gary, I'm Radley Kraut. Just finished up my freshman year at Penn State. Absolutely love your content. You're super inspiring. You know, just be yourself, be organic. I've been following you for a while. But I just have two questions for you. So what's a great piece of advice you normally don't give because people don't ask the right question? And then secondly, what's a question, you know, motivated, you know, ambitious college students, you know, and young professionals like us in this webinar right now should be asking people like you, Mark Cuban, you know, that hop on here, but we don't ask it.
I'm going to let AJ answer the first one because I have a funny feeling. I'm going to set him up because he might, no, AJ, I think you can help here because I think through my framework, what was a good piece of advice I gave you or an act I did that you didn't know or like kind of like, you know how I talk about how you were so candorous and I've learned from that?
Mm-hmm.
Like what's something, because I really want to give Brad.
Yeah, no, that's a good way to go about it.
The same mindset of the shit that he hears. Like Brad, the answer is, and I've leaned in the last 18 months, I've given AJ a few seconds to think. The real answer to it was kindness. Like 18-year, like freshman and fucking Penn State dudes don't fucking think 5 years ago about being nice and being empathetic. That's not fucking bro culture. And so like, that's the real fucking insight. Like actually nice guys actually fucking win the day. So that was a big one, but I'm curious if now that AJ has.
Yeah, I've got one. And I think it's good too. And I think, you know, I think early part of Gary's content, folks maybe gravitated too much to the hustle porn concept, like the hustle culture. And something that really struck me was in the early days of growing VaynerMedia and the crazy times that we talked about, big piece of advice Gary gave me that really struck a chord and really allowed me to thrive even more was, it's just okay to take a day off because you needed to take a day off, right? Like I really struggled with, you know, if I got overly stressed or overwhelmed while building this monster, right? Like I'm 25, I'm the COO of a company that has 250 employees. If it's okay to have a bad day and you don't really need a reason, right? So like, I think I gravitated to the notion of like, if I'm gonna take a day off from work, I better have a fucking reason, right? And he was just like, I just called him one day and I think he could sense how overwhelmed he was. And he's like, you don't really need a justification to take a day. Like sometimes humans just need a day and it doesn't need to be quantified and it doesn't need to be black and white. It doesn't need a doctor's note or a permission slip. And that really helped me a lot.
Brad, I think to that point, it's judging yourself. Like at 19, mm-hmm.
Yes.
Like, I'm fucking do this. I'm gonna fucking, like people fuck themselves up, bro. You got
That's
so
much- absolutely right.
It's time, it's my relationship with time. Your second part, you shouldn't be asking questions of Mark and I. We put out enough content. You should be doing something to catch the attention of Mark and That's I it. And everybody else.
Got it. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Got you, bro.
Thank Keep you, Bradley. Thank we got you. A couple more guys. So we got Cassandra Diaz from High Point University and now with the WNBA as a young professional.
AJ, I'm going to bounce at 6:45 firm. I got something else. You hold it down in the end.
Sure thing.
And Jack, Alex, thank you for having me. I'll probably finish off this and bounce abruptly.
Cool.
Hey guys, thanks for being on. As Alex said, my name's Cassandra. I graduated last year and went to High Point in North Carolina, and now I'm an assistant over at the WNBA. Awesome. So Gary, you mentioned this a lot in some of your videos. You said that college students and young professionals, we kind of have this 5-year period that should be the best times of our lives, like just grind it out in those 5 years. But I think now a lot of students and young professionals, they're terrified. You guys talked about it in the chat that, you know, traditional internships are being suspended, jobs are being, you know, people are losing their jobs. So how can these young professionals and students flip that perspective and just take advantage of this time?
What a great question for me to wrap up on. I'm so fucking fired up. Cassandra, it's easier now. That whole thing of like, go take shit and do shit and learn yourself and be high risk, high reward in this 3, 5, 7 year period. Most people didn't listen to me because they had their fucking fluff internship or their job they're supposed to have. You've been trained. You three are so young. Alex, Jack, you know, Cassandra, like you guys know, like you've been trained to think you have to fucking have it right at 22 miraculously. The answer is simple, Cassandra. Everybody needs to see this negative as the great positive, because right now you can go do whatever the fuck you want to do. All the magic happened for the 08, 09, 010, 11 kids because they didn't, like, everything was fucked up, so they could start companies. They could become, you know, YouTubers. Like, everybody that looks up to did it out of necessity. You're all stuck, and that's the best fucking thing that happened to you.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Gary.
I'm going to leave, AJ. I'll let you jump into that and everything else.
Thank you, Gary.
Right, love you.
That's nice. You gotta say you love you to your brother, right, AJ?
Oh, always, always.
Cool. We have a couple more. Is that cool, AJ?
Of course.
All right. So we got Austin Thomas from Penn State.
Can you guys see me and hear me?
Yep, we got you.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Doing well, Austin. How about yourself?
Pretty good. Can't complain. So my name is Austin Thomas. I'm 20 years old. This past October, I came out with a clothing company called Jerpa Jeans. We introduced jeans lined with the Sherpa material for the colder months and saw success with it in our first few months. I'm super passionate about the product, and this is really what makes me happy. One thing I'm struggling with is pushing out content. And I know Gary talks a lot about posting 3 to 4 times a day. And I like to segment on documenting rather than creating, which is something I'm planning on doing more of. My question is, besides just photo shoots of the product, you know, how do you suggest clothing companies like Jerpa push out content consistently without being repetitive?
How, you know, one way to do it is to rely on influencers. And I'm not saying get somebody to wear the product, but tap into the creative influencer standpoint, right? Find people that are creators themselves and try to barter with them. Basically trade product for content. Like, hey, I'll send you a pair, but you need to do something cool with it. Just an open-ended, you gotta do something cool with it, right? And so I think you can really touch into both aspects, right? You can have the influencers wear it and create content that way, but I guess that falls under the photo shoot you thought about. The other thing is you could potentially have contests, right? Tap into a community. I think just finding different aspects. Another thing, I mentioned it before, this like micro internship program, there is a pool of talented people that are sitting on their hands and lost what they thought they were going to do this entire summer. So maybe crowdsourcing and finding people that, you know, had their internship lost, right? Internship lost, pair of jeans found, that kind of concept.
Yeah, exactly. That's actually a market I'm looking into, just like high school students right now. Like this one girl, I know she's super creative and I don't necessarily have that creative side in me, so kind of getting her to, I guess you could say, quote unquote, intern and kind of produce that content, whether it be TikTok, whether it be Snapchat, that kind of thing. So I think,
yeah, be self-aware. You got to understand what your strengths are and what they aren't. And if creating content isn't your strength, it's not necessarily my strength either, right? And so creating content's not your strength. Find somebody that can help you and that can lead the charge. Because at the end of the day, you're not creating content for yourself. You're creating content for a product. So that means anybody can do it. It doesn't have to be you.
For sure. Thank you
so much, AJ. Austin, before you go.
Yes, I do
think your product makes a lot of sense for quarantine, and you could play into that idea of you're at home, right? We're not really dressed up for this, but maybe I put on a polo when I've been wearing a t-shirt. Someone wants to have a good work day. They want to throw on the jeans, but be super comfortable. So actually playing into the times, it could be a perfect time for your product.
Yeah, I totally agree.
You should send Jack and AJ one to test it out. I'll post it.
Yeah, Alex, I'll text you after this. And if you have their email or something, I can reach out to them and definitely send them something.
Cool. All right, Austin. Thank you, man.
Thank you so much, guys.
You got it. To Jack's point, I haven't worn a real pair of jeans in 2.5 months. I mean, I'm currently wearing mint chocolate chip shorts. So
I was looking for my jeans because I like to dress good, play good. So I put on the polo, look for my jeans, couldn't find them, throw on a pair of shorts.
I don't subscribe to dress good, play good. It's out the window for me.
Yeah. AJ, we got two more. You cool with that?
Let's do it. Yeah, let's do it.
Got Rachel Levitt, who's a student at Maryland. Rachel, you there?
Yeah, there I am. Sorry about that. Hi, I'm Rachel. I just finished my sophomore year at Maryland. I'm a marketing major and innovation and entrepreneurship minor. I'm also the co-founder of University of Maryland's first sports business conference this upcoming fall. And my question is, do you have a particular failure that has helped to define your career, and what have you learned about it about yourself from it?
It's a great question. I'm sure I can think of one. Give me one second. Particular failure. Yeah, you know, and I'll leave names out of it. But early on in Vayner, I made a hire that was a spectacular failure. And what I took from it, and something Gary and I talked a lot about, and, you know, from the earlier part of this chat, we talked about it, you know, Vayner went from 14 to 150 and 150 to 350 in staff, right? And so hiring is something that I did a lot of and continue to do at Vayner Sports. And I think from that that failure, so to speak, that first hire that was a disaster, I got less romantic about the hiring process. I think anybody that hires a real amount of staff has to understand that it's impossible to bat 1,000, right? So to use baseball, you bat 300 in baseball, you're a Hall of Famer. That means you're successful 3 out of 10 times, right? And I think with hiring, it's not a science, it's an art. And you just kind of have to lose the ego when it comes to hiring, not take it so personally if it doesn't work out, and just adjust properly. So just adjusting in general and the ripple effect that comes from making a bad hire and being able to be quick and decisive and to clean that mess up is something that I've kept with me and have utilized often throughout my career and will always utilize in my career.
Thank you.
You got it.
Thanks, Rachel. All right, the last question is from, Jack Upton, who's a recent grad from Syracuse.
This was a fan question, right, from the Instagram Live. So everyone be sure to follow the Classroom Series on Instagram. There's your plug, Alex.
Great. Good plug.
Thanks, AJ. Thanks, guys. Shout out to David Jaffin, by the way, who I'm hoping wasn't your spectacular failure of a...
No, it wasn't. He would have been gone by now if he was.
Yeah. So thanks for taking the time. I just wanted to ask, like, starting a sports agency from scratch has got to be exciting and challenging at the same time. Yeah. And I was just interested if you could expand upon, like, what difficulties you've gone through and like what's been great about that. I'm sure it's really exciting to go up against like some big agencies and snag that they're going for. And at the same time, there must be some challenges as well.
Oh, absolutely. I would say running a sports agency is full of challenges at all times. I would say probably the biggest challenge that I have faced and the biggest misconception I had about getting in the industry is that I severely underestimated how much track record mattered. I thought that, similar to the ad agency space, I thought that meritocracy would be more prevalent. And if I truly had the best service offering and the best ideas and the best presentation and the best opportunity for a young man, that they would choose me and choose Vayner Sports. And that's not the case. You know, the vast majority of kids coming out of college and going pro this upcoming draft class before even speaking to me or meeting with me, disqualify Vayner Sports because maybe they play at the University of Wyoming and we've never represented a player from University of Wyoming. And that kid and his family was always going to, no matter what, sign with an agent that had represented one of their older teammates. You know, when they were a freshman, this kid was a senior, and they, you know, that agent represents them, right? So there are kids, you know, there may be a kid at the University of Wyoming that would sign with me. That's how we sign clients, right? When you start from scratch, you have nobody. But there are more than I would have ever thought kids that will either rely on the track record and the testimonial of a former teammate, or the track record of their perceived draft stock and their position. You know, transparently, we missed out on some really great quarterbacks that if you run that process back 10 years from now, we signed the kid, but because we just hadn't had a quarterback drafted or had worked with a quarterback in the league yet, they just couldn't fathom signing with us. And it just felt like a risk they weren't willing to take. And I dramatically underestimated that and missed on that. And it's been a challenge.
As we end today's podcast, I want to give a huge shout out to the people, you know, it's so funny, people that leave reviews and written reviews of this podcast on Apple, Spotify, and all the other platforms just mean the world to me. You've taken an extra 13 to 95 seconds to show love and also give context to people of why this is a worthwhile podcast. So I appreciate that so much. And even more fun, because I think we all love a little cosign or a shout out or a little awareness, I'm gonna have the team give a couple of shout outs daily on our favorite reviews. So take it away, which were our favorites this week?
Thanks, Gary. Today's highlighted review is Wow, Great Variety and Always on Point by Patrick OFCA. I've listened to this podcast for a while and have just been guilted into leaving a review. With great variety and awesome guests, there's something for everyone. By the way, Zubin is a beast. Awesome e-com insights. Keep it up, Team Gary V. Cheers. Thanks, Patrick. Keep those reviews coming. We could highlight yours next.